Again,
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item number four, public comment. Manager Gieselin, is there any request for public comment?
Give me any slips.
I see Ms. Tacker coming forward. Julie, good evening.
Good evening. Before you start my time, I wondered if you could clarify what items will be discussed on their own tonight, just so I can get some bearings on how much time I might have to speak at each of the public comment sections of your agenda.
I don't know what you mean by discussed on their own.
I don't know if you're going to, on your public hearing items, there are seven items to be discussed. Am I supposed to address all seven of those at item eight?
Yes.
And then at this particular time, I have 3 minutes to discuss anything on or off the agenda.
Any item of district business.
Correct.
Yes.
And then at the end of the meeting, item 15, will I still have an opportunity to come back if I've used 3 minutes at each of the other intervals?
There's a six-minute limit.
Six-minute limit, yeah. And you are going to hold?
Yes, we intend to enforce that. That's what's in our...
Okay. I didn't see a whole lot of need for...
Good evening.
Okay. Good evening. First, I'd like to discuss items on your agenda. The August 8th meeting minutes, I'd like them to put on the record that your district legal counsel used the phrase, when referring to me, a bald-faced liar. I'd like that on the record. The August 22nd minutes, there's reference to comments that I made at that meeting, but Mr. Edwards was here and he made comments. There's no reference to his comments. I'd like to address your warrants. The last meeting was 21 days ago, and I don't know how you've paid your bills on the 10-day policy that Mr. Gieselin has put in place when you haven't had a board meeting in 3 weeks. On the tonight's warrants, there's an expenditure to a so far, and have any of those or are those eligible for reimbursement by your insurance company? Later tonight, you will be going to closed session. I'd like to speak to that. It's the public employment section. It's unclear if it's a public... if it's a performance review or if Ms. Thurman is leaving or staying or what exactly is happening there. But I'd like you to consider that you've spent a lot of money with Ms. Thurman, and $12,000 was spent on the policies and procedures. I believe there's some unprofessionalism with regard to some of her work, her not being prepared necessarily when seated at the board meetings. I have very little time left. An item that is not on your agenda and I would request in the future is that your district take up the seismic testing that's going to be going on off the shores of your community. Your beaches and businesses will be affected by this tragic project. So I'll be back at the next opportunity. Thank you.
Is there any other public comment? All right. Thank you, Ms. Tacker, for your public comments. We'll move on to item number six, the consent agenda. First, we have the 6A, the agenda review. Is there anything anybody would like to pull or move from the agenda?
Not I.
Nothing from you, Director Hurdle?
Nothing from me.
Okay. Director Angelo, nothing? Vice President Lucy?
No. Nothing from me.
Okay. Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
I move that we approve the agenda as is. Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion carries 5-0. Or any opposed? Okay. Motion carries 5-0. Review and approval of minutes, item 6B. Actually, this is a consent agenda and the yes. cast disbursements. Does anybody have any questions on items 6B or 6C?
No.
No.
There was one question, Tom, regarding the investigation, and there was a previously was a another payment, and now there's one tonight standing.
Say again.
Our insurance carrier has
yeah,
this claim.
We've entered with them months ago.
Okay. I'll entertain a motion to approve unless there's any changes.
I have please. 6C.
Mm-hmm.
There is in the warrants there. There is a refund of $1,484 that is going to go to what this happened back in May when somebody sent a bill out, predates me, predates most of you guys. Anyways, there was a bill was for $116,000 and the person was infirmed at the time, paid their bill and paid $1,600 and nobody caught it. And the person has since passed, so now we're dealing with the estate, so we're gonna refund the estate back $1,484. And this was caught during our closing of 11 by our internal accounting and the accounting services. So that will be going out, and that check will be sent out this week.
We did send a letter.
No, there will be a formal letter going out and everything. I just need to check.
I figured there would be as much, saying we apologize.
And they still take water from us, but they average $92, and I would much rather have them have the money than the $92.
Yeah. Right.
And that's all I have on the...
On the warrants?
On the warrants.
Thank you, Tom.
Pretty standard. I move that we accept the warrants. Accept the consent agenda?
Accept the consent agenda.
I move that we accept the consent agenda as stated in the agenda.
I second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Item motion carries 5-0. Moving on to item number 7, reports, Sheriff Stout Station, Commander Taylor. Good evening.
All right, good evening. I have some good news to report. As you've probably seen in the media reports, we made arrests in the Oceana Market robbery.
Mm-hmm.
During the course of the investigation into the armed robbery at the Oceana, and with the recovery of the gun used in the robbery, the investigators were able to focus on suspects that they had already developed in the case who happened to be in custody at the time on unrelated charges. After further investigation, the interviews of the suspects by investigators, they arrested Michael Hardesty, Matthew Lawrence, and Amanda Stockwell for the armed robbery at the Oceana Market. During the investigation, the deputies determined that Hardesty Lawrence and Sarah Coghill were responsible for a home invasion robbery that had occurred on August 7th, 2012 in the 1300 block of 17th Street in Oceana. As part of that investigation, the deputies not only arrested those three subjects, but were able to recover the stolen property and return it to the victim. So that case is now concluded and it'll make its way through the courts. It was a joint effort between the deputies here at the South Station and the sheriff's detectives and also members of the gang task force that had initially developed the tip about the gun located in the residence in Arroyo Grande. We have a video recording system that is being updated, the video recording system in our patrol cars. With the help of the County Board of Supervisors, the sheriff's office is replacing the current video system with a new system that's going to allow the video that's captured to be automatically downloaded to our servers whenever a patrol car passes one of our Wi-Fi hotspots. The improved system is going to allow for the deputies to review their video before they prepare their reports for court. And it also allows a supervisor to view the events that occur soon after they happen, and that's going to help us in aiding aid the sergeants in resolving training issues, and also any citizens' complaints will be handled a lot quicker because we can simply view the video if video exists. The current system that we have is based on these DVD-R discs, and unfortunately, we're not even able to view them at the station. And we can't buy any more discs because they don't make them anymore. And if I want to view it, I have to make a request through property, and then they have to basically burn one onto a format that I can watch at the station. So this upgrade is a huge change for us. The funding for the system is coming in part from savings from last year's sheriff's budget. So we were very good at shepherding our funds, and we had a surplus at the end of the year. And when the board learned that we needed the new system and what it was used for, they worked with us to apply that money towards the cost. So we're able to upgrade without a significant impact to the public. $60,000 per year for the facility is the same amount that the county, same amount of money that the county had been paying Los Osos Valley Mortuary for the use of their facility. So for the same amount of money, we have a facility that's under the exclusive control of the sheriff, which and allows us to handle more bodies if we had a significant event, and also ensure the integrity of the autopsy. And again, this was accomplished by the sheriff, the sheriff's advisory council, and the board of supervisors, everybody pulling together to make this happen. And we've got now a modern, secure morgue facility without a significant impact to the taxpayers. The last item that I had is that we have experienced a series of thefts from some of the rental properties on Strand Way. And this appears to be vacationers. They've been here for the summer. They've left doors open or unlocked, and people have gained entry. We haven't experienced ransacking, but we've seen jewelry taken, computers that have been left out close to the doorway or close to an area where the people can see it. We've had wallets taken. We are putting together a plan to try and resolve it. Some of this problem may resolve itself because we're reaching the end of the tourist season. But our hopes is if we can increase patrol on foot and using bicycles, we might be able to catch whoever's doing this and put a stop to it. So if anybody has any information regarding this, I encourage them to contact me at the sheriff's office at 473-7100. And that's the end of my presentation.
Go ahead.
Wow, you guys are really busy. I don't have any questions about the morgue, sorry. Let me ask you something. Does Arroyo Grande, do they have a gang task force? Because what it appears is that you guys handle the Oceano area, and I have to say I'm really feel very confident as a resident. And you manage the major crimes that we've had. You manage to get those under control very, very quickly, the murder and now this armed robbery, which, you know. But it also appears that these people live in other areas, and so they're coming into Oceano and they're committing crimes, right? And then they go back into their residence. And so I have to say, does Arroyo Grande have a proactive gang?
Funded by a state grant, and it was for countywide gang efforts. The cities participated in the sense that they signed an MOU. They agreed to participate in the grant funding and to direct all of that funding towards the sheriff's office, probation, and the district attorney. What has happened in the last year, actually a little less than a year, is that when the county narcotics task force, which was a separate entity from the sheriff's narcotics unit, when the county narcotics task force folded up because the state ran out of money and they basically were ending their obligation, all of the resources that were put into that task force by the cities, either in the form of money or the form of a body, you know, a police officer, all of those resources were directed to the sheriff, who offered to provide some leadership. And the sheriff's ideal was some of those personnel would join the sheriff's narcotics unit, but the lion's share of them were going to go into the gang task force. And the reason was because previously the gang task force consisted of two deputy sheriffs and a probation officer and a part-time DA prosecutor that prosecuted the cases. that's been the staffing from day one of the gang task force 25 years ago, and yet we've seen problems increase, especially in the So the idea of the sheriff was to take the resources and include them into the gang task force. Arroyo Grande contributes to the gang task force effort.
Okay, good. That's what I wanted
So they're involved in it. Now, they've got their own police department, and they try to handle all of their own matters, and they do it pretty well. But in this case, with the Oceano robbery, everybody was working on it, shaking down their informants, trying to follow up leads, trying to find out what was going on. And it happened that one of the investigators, who's actually an investigator from the Tascadero Police Department, had an informant who made a call to him. Great. And that's what kind of broke this thing loose. So everybody's working together, and it's not a case of us cleaning their messes up. It's really collectively everybody's throwing, everybody's bringing something to the table, and it's helping us.
That's good. That's what I wanted to hear. Thank you.
Mr. President? Go ahead. Commander, I want to thank you for a very good job. I just love it when a plan comes together like this. I do. And one thing that you mentioned, I would love to see bike patrol. I think that is up close and personal, and I think it would really make a big difference in this community.
Yeah, and, so. Unfortunately, we don't have a full-time dedicated...
B, Five Cities Fire Authority, Fire Chief Aranez. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, honorable board members. Joel Aranez, Five Cities Fire. A month activity for the authority in Oceano. There were a total of 69 incidents within Oceano. One small structure fire, it was actually in Grover, but engine 61 was first on scene. It was a laundromat. And one passenger vehicle fire and one small grass fire. And also engine 61 was part of the response to two structure fires in Arroyo Grande over the weekend. One was a room and contents, the other was a bedding fire, we believe, started by an electric blanket. Total loss for the month was about $4,200. To update you on our SAFER grant hiring, we have clearance on all six candidates, so we have offered the final offers of employment to all six. We will swear them in Friday at the board meeting at 3 p.m. at the Grover Beach City Council. They are under a two-year contract for the SAFER grant, and then our staffing will go from 8 on duty to 10 on duty daily. We also have a recruitment open for secretary to the board. As you know, Nancy Haglin is retiring after 29 years in the fire service. And her last day will be Friday. Also, one of her last acts will be to swear in those six firefighters. We continue with our reserve firefighter recruitment. We put that on hold while we were hiring our SAFER grant employees, but now we're back on task with hiring our recruits. We are going to what we call an 18 reserve program. There will be two reserve firefighters assigned to each company officer. We have hoped to have a little more consistency with our crews under that program. Had a meeting on August 30th with Chief Rob Lewin and Brent Marshall of the state parks, discussing the off-highway vehicle response onto the dunes. I think we've come to an agreement that county parks, they have taken our Patrol 61 and gone through it, made a list of necessary repairs to it. State parks will cover that. We will basically enter into an agreement, as we did with the purchase of the vehicle, where state parks will be responsible for basically two-thirds of the increase of our staffing. We have started listing our response times and our percentages of when we are on scene within 5 minutes, and we will update that monthly. And that's right on the front page of our website. So if you want to see how we're doing over the course of this two-year SAFER grant, take a look at that, and hopefully with our increased staffing, we will see our response times go down. Currently, where we're starting is about 67% of the time we're on scene within 5 minutes, and hopefully our goal is to get that up to 90%.
Thank you, Chief. Does anybody have any questions for Chief Aranez? We know you had the fire. The gentleman has set himself on fire. That was a sad case over in the village that you responded to. It looks like they did a good job, though, keeping the fire contained. And
yes, it created a small grass fire below the swinging bridge. We did get that taken care of. There were two off-duty firefighters having dinner at Rooster Creek when the screaming broke out, and they were chased the victim down and got him and started putting the flames out. So
were they our guys or other?
Yes.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chief.
Mm-hmm. Moving on to item number 7C, OCSD operations. Tom, please.
Since David Church from LAFCO is here, and I wouldn't want to, I'd like, can we take like a 2-minute break, a 3-minute break, let him set up his laptop?
Sure. Does anybody mind moving the agenda? And that is the item 9D, is that correct? We have public comment that was scheduled before that.
Do you want to take that? Or
why don't we take public comment on that particular item if anybody has it? We'll take a 2-minute recess. It's 6:59 or 6:58. Thanks.
Sure,
there's only three people here, so we got to make some. Julie, do you have public comment now? Well, you could go at 8. You could go at number 8. I'll let you. All right, moving on to item number 9D, LAFCO Sphere of Influence, Review and Recommended Action. Discuss additional annexation of these two tracks. A, SOI study area number 2, State Parks Dunes. B, SOI study area number 3, Silver Spur Stables. And what we decided was that we would have public comment now. Mr. Church, is there any public comment at this time? Julie, would you like to go now?
I'd like, less than a minute because I don't want this to go against time on other items.
You want to set aside a... It'll set aside a minute?
I'm sorry.
You wanted to set aside a minute?
No.
For this?
The other way around. I'd like to take less than a minute and set aside the remainder of the 3 minutes for the other items that are on your business and...
It's 1-minute increments, so...
Right.
If you'd like to set aside a minute now and then save 2 for later, that's fine.
That's what I meant to use 1 minute, so okay. Set aside 2.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, we do our math a little differently. My only knowledge to this item, because there is no written staff report, and your presentation will come after my comment, and any vote you take really has... I
can pull up a chair, too.
That's probably not a bad idea. Not a bad idea. My name is David Church. I'm the executive officer for LAFCO. Sorry I'm a little late. I was on the grade, and they're doing some work. So it got to the single lane up by Santa Margarita where I live. So
Wow.
Apologize for being a little bit late, but stuck in traffic. We're going to talk about the sphere of influence update and municipal service review that is being prepared not only for the Oceano Community Services District, but for the City of Rio Grande, the City of Grover Beach, and the South County Sanitation District as well. So we're grouping them all together. The last one that was done was done in 2003, and that update, actually, we're supposed to look at it every 5 years or as needed. Thus, the timing of it right now. Just to get kind of a definition of a sphere of influence, and it is the probable service boundary for a jurisdiction, and we're trying to have a 20-year planning horizon. And so it's envisioning where this services might go for a jurisdiction, for a city, or for a district. It's updated every 5 years, as I mentioned. It is a planning boundary, and this is key. It's not a land use approval. It's not an annexation of property. Mm-hmm. It's a planning boundary, and it's purely used by LAFCO to kind of plan for the future. The SOI, and this is a key thing, does not require an annexation to take place, but it envisions one. In other words, you could have something, a property in a sphere of influence that isn't annexed within the next 20 years, but it's being planned for. It may be that the property owner doesn't want to do it. It may be that the district or jurisdiction doesn't want to. It may be that it's not right, but it may be also that it's being planned for in a general plan somewhere that that area be added. So there are other reasons for it, but it doesn't require that an annexation occur. It anticipates that an area will be served in the future. It usually involves areas that are close to a jurisdiction, and it also involves property. Actually, before an annexation is done, property must be in a sphere of influence. So that's another advantage for being in a sphere. And what you see now is the sphere of influence right now for the Oceano Community Services District. And essentially, it's the same as the service area boundary right now. And the last annexation that did occur was this area over here, the three mobile home parks, mm-hmm. right here. And we, this is not all
dusty study.
This has been prepared, and Chapter 2 in this document actually contains the sphere of influence update, and it contains the information about study areas, information with recommendations about the sphere of influence for every jurisdiction. And Oceanos is included in here as well. The other factors that are addressed in Chapter 2 are what are the present and planned land uses of the sphere area? What are the present and probable needs for services? So we look at that factor as well. And we also look at the social and economic communities of interest that are in a particular area. It does include also the proposed sphere of influence maps, although in this case I'm going to get to those and I'll show you what we've done, and we can talk about that a little bit more. This shows you the study areas that we looked at for the Oceanos service review and for the service sphere of influence update. Study area one is that notch just south of the pike, and that area is actually in City of Rio Grande. The reason we put it in there is just to identify it as an area that has Oceano infrastructure. It's not really likely that this is ever going to be annexed into the Oceano Community Services District. It's already served by the City of Rio Grande. The residents there are residents of the City of Rio Grande, and it's very unlikely that that would ever happen. But we have never drawn attention to the fact that Oceano does have infrastructure there, and that's how the services are provided through an agreement there. And what we wanted to do was shed some light on that particular issue with this study area. Study area two is the state parks area there to the south, and that area has been put in. There was some discussion that we heard about some type of dump station or some type of station being facilitated out there. We haven't heard any real serious discussions about it, but we thought we'd put it in as a study area. We'd look at that issue a little bit and then come to some recommendation. Study area three is the Silver Stables area, and you can see that just to the south there, and that's an area that I believe one of the issues is water, and getting water to that particular area was a concern, and we looked at that as well. Now, one of our legislatively mandated goals is to preserve prime agricultural land. And the reason this is key for the Oceano Community Services District is the Siena Gavau. North is some of that prime ag land, and you can see to the northeast, that's some type of, I believe it's a seed operation that is ongoing there. And one of the concerns that we do have with this particular piece is extending infrastructure out into that particular area where there is agricultural lands of that nature. Municipal service review is something that we prepare, and the municipal service review is required by the Cartesi-Knox-Hertzberg Act. It's contained, I believe, in Chapter 5 of this document. So for the Oceano Community Services District, Chapter 5 and Chapter 2 would be the appropriate ones to look at. It's an information base for LAFCO, and what the LAFCO does is they consider all of the factors, all of the information that is in that municipal service review, and then they'll make their decisions based on what's in there. It really looks at the service capability of a jurisdiction. It is truly a snapshot in time, and it's really a look at the existing information base that has been gathered up by the staffs together and putting that together. I want to thank Tom for putting together a bunch of information for us, and the more we get, the more informed our decision makers are, the more thorough the document is. And if you read it, there's a lot of information mm-hmm. in it about water, there's a lot of information mm-hmm. about sewer, there's a lot about services, and that goes to tell you that we really had a good coordination, I think, in terms of information that's been included. It is not an investigative document. Mm-hmm. People want to use it this way. It is an information document. It is a document to be used for making a decision. And that's why it's called a municipal service review as opposed to maybe a report or investigation or something mm-hmm. of that nature. Mm-hmm. I say that clearly because people want to take this information sometimes and use it in different ways, and we've seen that happen. It evaluates a jurisdiction's ability to provide services, and LAFCO does consider the 7 legislative factors when they make their decision. And that's the listing of the service review factors that you find in Chapter 5. Each one of those factors is addressed. Each one of those factors we talk about in pretty good detail, some mm-hmm. some more than others. We really tend to focus on infrastructure needs and deficiencies. And we actually, in this one, we're starting to look a lot more at the financial ability of a more input on the document. So that's part of why I'm here, too, is mm-hmm. to come and kind of pitch it to you as well. The comments will be received. We'll take those in, and particularly if they're correcting the database in terms of information, we really do try and get that stuff right, and so we'll consider those. Hopefully, LAFCO will consider the sphere of influence update and the municipal service review in November. And that's our hope. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
I'm glad you made the distinction between it being a review and not a report. So can we get the lights, possibly?
No.
Okay, no lights. I noticed a couple of errors in the review. On 5.5, the last paragraph before the Council of Governments population projections, it says that Oceano, and let there be light, Oceano grew 9% per year from 2000 to 2010.
Yikes.
Yeah, so we're 100,000 people now.
My goodness.
And so I
didn't know.
I think it grew 9% total yeah. during that time, and so as exactly. a snapshot, I don't think that's correct. And then I saw that it did mention that the Oceano, the specific plan, but it didn't address that, and I guess that's the difference between a review and report. It didn't address that the state has been here currently talking about redeveloping Oceano, and there's been a lot of discussions. And so that could right. change this report quite substantially, I think, right. if the business district gets built up, if we get some of the infill that's being discussed. So I don't know if that needs to be addressed or if it's just a snapshot, and we'll see what happens next year.
Well, the other thing about what we can do is we can put that effort is underway and getting started and really use it as a placeholder for the next time we come around in the next 5 years and see where it's at at that point.
I think it should be included because it was just a couple of months ago that they were here, and they came a couple of different times. And so I also noticed that the LAFCO is recommending not expanding our sphere of influence.
Correct.
Can you expand upon that, why you that's LAFCO's position?
Sure. Yeah, for study area one, I think I explained it. It was really it's because the city of Oro Grande is already serving that area. To put it in the sphere of influence doesn't make a lot of sense in terms of that. Study area two, really not certain how far along the way anybody is in terms of discussions or getting a project done there. Just because it's not in the sphere of influence doesn't mean you can't come forward with a project. There's something that three, it's largely because of the prime agricultural land and our desire, LAFCO's desire, to preserve prime agricultural land and not extend infrastructure into the area.
But I think what it discussed, I don't know if there was a health and safety need or something, I think that
that's
was
true.
The catch.
Then right? that is true. If there is a health and safety need, if there truly is something that can be documented as a emergency health and safety need, then there's a possibility that an outside user agreement could be used in that particular place without actually having a sphere of influence. But it has to be a pretty well documented need in terms of public health and safety.
Because my understanding is that state parks approached us and that these other people in study area three approached us. And so I don't know if they have a problem with their well. I don't know what the driving force was on for them to approach
right.
us to ask for water.
I'm not certain on that. We
okay,
just
we
took those study areas and talking with your staff and said, okay, well, let's talk about them purely as study areas. And when we take that, we don't intend that a study area absolutely goes into a jurisdiction. We intend to look at it and then come up with a recommendation.
Because, I mean, we're a water company at our,
you know,
we have 1,953 acre feet of water. We're using 850. Why wouldn't we sell, you know, some water and help fund more infrastructure for our constituents?
Mr. President,
according to this review, you're saying that the county build out includes 28 new dwelling units in Oceano. And one of the things that, one of the issues that we have in Oceano are many of our vacant lots are not large enough. Mm-hmm. And so with this figure, depending on how you look at it, we're pretty much at full growth capacity for the water that we have to supply according to this review. Am I correct?
Well,
pretty close to build out.
What
capacity.
Page are you on?
511.
5-11.
Yes, 90% build out.
Right, and I think what we're doing is we're quoting the Oceano specific plan at that point in time.
Right.
And so we use what we have available to us in terms of other documentation. And so if it does point to that in their general plan, in the county's general plan, that's the information they currently have in this.
Probably that one. The 5-4. Explain this to me. Is that the area of study is in, just put it in, it's the area right next to the 7-Eleven on Elm and the Pike, correct?
Study area one. Correct?
Yeah, that would be, yeah, right,
yes.
Study area one,
that's the
right?
vacant lot by 7-Eleven.
The vacant lot on that side. Now, what I don't understand is that we service that neighborhood behind there, right? But it's not considered Oceano. Those are AG addresses. And I was always wondering, why is it that we don't, you know, we service water and sewer to those homes there, but Arroyo Grande, you know,
yeah, and you
takes
know,
claim to that area. And so I never understood that one, right?
Right.
And they had given me some excuse, but I couldn't remember what it was. And then also, too, is that Arroyo Grande does not have an affordable housing commitment. They don't have a commitment to affordable housing. And that makes it a little different. Oceano, we have so much affordable housing. We fall into the county. The county's committed to affordable housing, right? The city of Arroyo Grande doesn't have policies nor stipulations geared towards affordable housing. And so when the three trailer parks, which are considered affordable housing and much needed, right, were somewhat annexed into Oceano because of the water situation, right? Mm-hmm. And but Arroyo Grande wasn't interested in keeping that as affordable housing because of their policies had changed, right? So it was kind of a favor to them to for us to take those much needed parks. So now I go back over to the study area one, which is, if you want to put it in this term, you know, on our side of the street, it just seems odd that the city next door doesn't have a commitment to affordable housing, but still they got a little tiny, tiny square in the area that does,
right?
Which is us.
And I would say that it's odd as well.
Okay,
and
so
Oceano, you're talking about a inhabited annexation of 12 or more registered voters likely to have a vote of them if they were ever going to be annexed down the road. So I'm pretty certain, I'm not absolutely certain, maybe they do want to go into the Oceano Community Services District, but it seems like this area's been in there now for many, many years. And
well,
Oceano
Community would
to
love
stay.
To have that area because we could do a wonderful park or whatever, right?
Right.
But right across the street is the Halcyon area. And Halcyon is part of Oceano. Oceano, yes. Halcyon,
yeah.
Community Service District area. So they're even sticking out. They're even more like a sore thumb. It's like, I don't understand it. I think, I just feel like I'm not getting the truth behind this little lot. And the reason why I paid attention so close attention to this, because some developers did come to us some years ago, right? And I asked them to just politely put a nice little, you know, say fence around the cemetery across the street. And there was a, you know, oh, sit down and shut up, lady, kind of attitude. And that's why it kind of stuck out in my mind, like, what's so important about this little piece of dirt over here?
Right.
So there's more to the story than...
Yeah. Well, there's more to it besides, because the Roy Grande Planning Commission has approved the development for that empty space there, and they're providing water for that space, but not for the neighbors who are going to have apartments next door to them, and they're paying a higher price for Oceano water than the people that'll be living right next door to will get a lower rate for Arroyo Grande water. And those people developing still won't put a fence around the cemetery.
And then Arroyo Grande can claim affordable housing and apply for those federal grants, right? Oops, did I say that?
No, it's not affordable housing. It's multi-use housing.
It's apartments, right?
It's apartments.
Gonna be,
but it's not labeled affordable housing. Yeah. It's just apartments and a multi-use thing with a business
and
building.
Apartments are also a needed commodity in this particular market at this point, so that's something that is useful. But like I said, we were just trying to shed some light on an already complicated situation, and it's probably shedding light on more of the complications of the situation. But it is what it is, and I don't envision that there would ever be a detachment from the city of Arroyo Grande and some kind of...
That I was thinking about. Not right now.
Go ahead.
In looking at this and listening to what you're saying, if there are mitigating circumstances, health situations that we could consider at least two of these projects, the state parks and the Silver Spur Stables?
I would have to say that state parks is less of a public, it seems like it's less of a health and safety issue. It would have to be pretty eminent and pretty much an emergent situation in terms of public health and safety for the district to be able to provide an outside user agreement. And it would have to be documented by an outside agency as well. So there's some hurdles to get over because I think the state law doesn't want that to be abused, where we use an outside user agreement just to serve an area on a quote-unquote health and safety issue that is or is not documented. So they call for actual documentation, either from the Environmental Health Department or somebody like State Regional Water Quality Control Board, those types of folks, in terms of developing an outside user agreement under that particular standard.
Outside user.
Yeah.
So, I do have a
go ahead.
I have a question for the study area three. When that first started to develop, in the back of my mind several years ago, I believe they came to Oceano and they wanted water but didn't want sewer. And Oceano said, no, you have to take both. And so at that point, they didn't go with it. They did their own thing. So at this point, I know they've been doing some rebuilding and restructuring, and I don't know if they're putting in
large septic system.
Yeah, water in a septic system now. But I would think that for the water quality that they have there and stuff, would have been better to come into the district with that. And I know that up in those areas, they don't have a lot of fire protection. They do now because there's still some homes back over in there. And I believe they have worked out an agreement with the Five Cities Fire Authority for that. But I find it strange that they wouldn't come into Oceano. But now they've gone ahead and done some more development, which I happened to trip across. I couldn't figure out what they were doing at first.
Hmm.
So that one kind of surprised me, because I would think that would be the most logical one to bring into the...
Right. Then goes to LAFCO. What's the procedure here? Can you educate us?
Well, since we are doing a sphere of influence update, certainly the district can provide us a letter commenting on the different and various aspects of the update, as well as the study area. So, and LAFCO would consider that as part of the record and part of their decision-making process. The next steps, really... Annexation, the sphere of influence is one step. Annexation is another step. I talked a little bit about the outside user agreement process that is possible depending upon if there was a real imminent public health threat. Those are the three options. Annexation is a little longer process. It's a formal process that you go through. It's very laid out. That would be a process that you would come in for after the sphere of influence was updated. So that's kind of the process.
That helps. I think when we hear from Tom, we'll know more how this, how they contacted us and what their interest was in doing that.
David, I just wanted to ask you one more question, because I'm sorry, I haven't had a chance to read the whole thing. I was a little busy. They don't like me to read and drive at the same time. Were there any of the lines, basically the property line, any of the main lines changed? And the main area I'm thinking of is area two, area three.
Were any of the property lines changed?
No. Well, no, not property lines. I guess sphere
of influence lines?
Yeah. Where is the sand district on this? And then I can figure out where my bearings are. Is that area, is that right here?
There's Delta and Fountain on there.
Right here?
Tom, where's the sand district? Is it...
So it's area... closer to area three?
It's down here, isn't it?
It's right... right there.
Will they go show each other?
Well, that's not...
Show me.
There you go.
Up in
the
corner. When you guys get done, let me know where.
Where's your
mouth? It's
right
down here.
Just there.
Here's Fountain.
It's
right there.
It's down here.
Okay, so the sand district is
Laguna and Stream.
See where Laguna comes down?
Yeah.
It's right
okay,
by.
It's right.
You guys need to know where it is.
Laguna and Lakeside and all that.
Yeah.
Right
there, airport. Right. Where's the airport?
Lakeside
right
and.
Right.
There's railroad.
There's the airport. See, that's the airport. Yeah.
Fountain.
So to the right. Right.
Yeah.
Here's
right.
The
that's
island.
The
airport.
Right.
And so sandy right there.
Been 9% per year, right?
We'll get that. We will get that.
Our hookups would reflect that it's not.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Tom, I'll turn it over to you.
Send it to the tax guy. People will know he's drawing 9%.
Okay, on this, there's a couple things. We did the review. We did the... this got reviewed on a couple different levels. One, I reviewed it. Obviously, you guys reviewed it. I had to sit down with Mr. Church and we reviewed it. And then I attended the LAFCO meeting where they were having the discussion about this. And because of where we were a year ago and where we are now, it's been a quantum leap. And nobody up until this point had really looked hard at these. And Mr. Church explained to me that one of LAFCO's things is they don't want to create islands. So that's an issue with both of these. Number two is that in order for us, and I was too aware of the decision or discussion by the board that if Silver Spur didn't want water and sewer, that they weren't going to deviate. You either took them both or you didn't. So there's a whole bunch of discussions that still need to be had on this. And then to throw a curve into the mix, which I've already had a discussion with Mr. Church on, is that the tone of the LAFCO board is starting to use water as an issue. And you have the PISMO project, Robles Del Mar, which LAFCO is currently getting sued for because people on the LAFCO board are disregarding our adjudicated basin, which to every water lawyer we've talked to said that adjudicated basin is the gold standard and therefore it shall not be questioned, but they're classifying that as paper water. And so, and I believe Director Lucy started talking about this several months ago about the old deal, if you don't use it, you're probably going to lose it. And so this has got my NCMA counterparts up in arms because we have an adjudicated basin that I would challenge just about, what's the word I'm looking for, content in the descriptions that are off, just like we found some stuff that's off. And then also Arroyo Grande has an issue with theirs. And PISMO's not included in ours, right, David?
They're special.
That's correct.
Yeah, but yeah, PISMO separate. Has obviously a bigger issue with them than we do at this point. So I think everybody's going to ask for a continuance because the LAFCO board is subject to election, and there's certain spots on there that they could or could not be there depending on the election in November, whether they'd be there. So what my recommendation is that we, you know, make the corrections, but also request along with our sister agencies to keep this open for discussion until the November, December timeframe. And a lot of this just came down in the last 3 or 4 days. But I'm impressed you guys read that stuff because it took me a while to get through it and I had help.
It took me a while as well.
My granddaughter helped me.
I did research in detail along with Director White, the Pike property by the 7-Eleven, and even though Paul Place, that the mm-hmm. outlying area besides the field by the 7-Eleven, they are our customers and they will remain our customers. Arroyo Grande does not want to take them. The difference in the water price is we're actually cheaper than Arroyo Grande. So that's a benefit that we're going to offer. And the only thing that this developer is doing is putting in a main to the project, and it's a condition of his project. The rest of the stuff will still remain ours. And so whether we choose to intertie into it, that still has to be decided. But I don't see any reason to do that. And so from a revenue standpoint, we're going to get the water and the sewer revenue because we support it. I don't believe we get the property taxes, right, on that. That goes to AG.
Yeah,
it goes to AG.
If it's in the city of Arroyo Grande.
Yeah. So they get the property taxes, but we get them as water customers.
See, I just don't even think it's theirs.
Yeah. So if we want to – now, in fairness, this came to our board previously. I can't tell you when, but I talked to enough people that said, yeah, that it actually came to Oceano, and Oceano declined not to service these people. But in fairness
of doing a detachment and an annexation and all of that dance, and it's quite an effort to get that area into the district, if that's what your ultimate goal is.
According to LAFCO standards, though, isn't that an island?
It's not really. I mean, it's technically, it's substantially surrounded, so it could be considered an island. It's not fully surrounded. Under the Cortese-Knott-Hertzberg Act, the language is substantially surrounded. So,
who services the 7-Eleven?
I don't know.
I think we do.
I think you do, too.
And the houses behind 7-Eleven?
Yeah, we do.
We do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, if the district
and
the city...
And the houses across the street, we do.
Right, so, and if the district and the city can get together on it, I mean, that would be something you could bring to us. But I'm just saying that as it looks to me, as seeing these things go right now, this is a long road to hoe.
Okay, and I agree with you on that. David, let me ask you, do you have the ability, right, to go back to LAFCO and say, you know, we kind of need an explanation why AG wants this little spot of land? It's an island. In all fairness, under your guidelines, it's an island. And just get an explanation for it. And then nobody has to guess.
We could try. We could try to get
nice
that.
Dear gentlemen.
So there's
Tony's team.
Yeah, I don't know what the reason could be, but we can find that out. Sure.
Yeah, you know, just say, you know, after this paper thing, not to be construed as a report or whatever. You know, we just want to know why.
Right. It may be that it's been in there for a very, very long time.
And maybe they'll say, "Hey, you don't want it."
Yeah.
I doubt.
I don't know about that, but I think it's been in there for a very, very long time. And maybe what we'll do is we'll try and track back to the time period when this particular piece was put into the city.
Yeah,
we'll see if we can get some history for it on.
That'd be fantastic.
Yes.
Yeah.
And good luck on your legal issues, and just know that you have many amongst you who you can get support from.
Thank you. I think we're doing okay though with that.
I heard that.
Thank you, David. My comment is I echo the same or one I made earlier is that we sell water. We've got water.
Right. But we're not asking for a recommendation here.
Right.
It's a review.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then to catch the problems that we might have, and then I will draft a letter to.
There all the time. You know, you can get a boat in that parking lot. I see you down there.
And I see AGPD every time I drive past your house.
The one last thing I want to point out, Mr. Church has been extremely supportive of everything that we do down here, and he's answered every question that I've had. And when he didn't know the answer, he would point me in the right direction. And we get, I don't think we send a rep to LAFCO because we need to, I think we're regularly attending those meetings, mm-hmm. but we don't actually have a rep from this board on that board. So,
Mary volunteers.
But they have been very, very supportive.
Thank you.
So I don't think we have any action then to take tonight. We've discussed
it. No, we don't have any action.
Okay. Why don't we? Any further discussion? I'll move on. Okay, I'll move on to item. We were at item 7C, OCSD operations.
Yeah. First of all, on the September 7th Friday report, there's a typographical error, and the public checking account on that date was $856,552. And just for my own gratification, that gives us cash on hand of a little over $1.9 million, which a year ago we were barely at 1.2. So that's a positive.
And that's 857,000 and what? I'm sorry.
856,552.
So we've had almost a $700,000 swing in the positive.
Yeah.
On that.
Combined. So I'm feeling really good about that, and we've already seen copies of the checks where a lot of that money came from, but
yes.
I do need to tell you that we got two more. One, they called me about and said that they shorted us $4.56. And then we got another one, which was some cleanup, and it was for, I believe, like $1,300. So,
yeah,
it's all done.
So that was from the county or from?
Yeah, no, it was from Cal FEMA.
Cal FEMA?
And FEMA replacement.
We'll take it.
So, yeah, that's, I'm still jazzed about that. Need to clarify something. We did have a meeting on September 8th where we did do the warrants and we paid everybody. There is no policy. It's just good business practice. And the other good thing about it is that you got to remember when you're not paying people, people don't want to work for you, and we're doing everything we can. We put out a bit, we put out a call for people to come look at an electrical issue that we have, and we went to five different people, and only one person responded. And then I got the line from somebody else on another person that's done a lot of municipal work that this job fits, and he came out. So seven people, two people responded. When we did the bids on the parking lot, two people responded, and we had to bid. We're just trying to get it out there that, hey, Oceano's a good place to do business with that.
Right. So. Repairing our credit, so to speak.
Right. So it's just good, solid business practice, and there's no need to. I mean, if you look at the difference between the public funds that are out there, so on 830, we had a public fund that was 27,944, and after 1 month, it's now 27,986. So interest rates right now are so crazy low. I mean, we're not even getting 0.35% on our money. We've looked at all different places we can put it, and we're just going to continue to maintain that way. So that's the correction. The big things that we've been knocking off are the getting caught up on the compliance with the water yard and increasing all the equipment and bringing things up to code. And we are pushing really hard to correct a lot of unplanned obsolescence. And I'll give you a classic example. We just upgraded the lift station today with valves and pipes and sump pumps in order for it to operate. And if you remember, on the 3rd of July, it crashed and couldn't get it up. And Roy Grandy offered us assistance, and we were able to limp it through. And little by little, we're putting the thing back together. So today, we put in the new valves. And we ordered 10-inch valves that was required for everything. So that part is definitely was a positive. If you'll notice in the Friday reports previously, I would just get one or two items on the field side, and now it pretty much takes almost a whole page. And these are all the things that we are dealing with on a weekly basis, and we actually have work plans in place, and we go forward and execute those work plans with the four gentlemen that we have. Most of you have been over to the water yard to see the improvements that are there, and we will continue to make those updates. The fire JPA, we thought we had a deal, and then two issues became a bone of contention, and they're actually having a union meeting night to agree on them, but hopefully that'll be put to bed. Director Hurdle can talk about the cost savings on that. We're getting a lot of positive information going on in the revitalization, and a lot of that's going through the advisory council, which Director Hurdle will talk about when she presents. But we're also starting to get rumblings from people that have had lots here that are sitting vacant and they want to start developing, and we got three sets of plans in this week. Yeah. And you got to remember, when they started it 3 years ago, the ordinances were this, and now the ordinances are this, and so everything has to go back through review. But in my mind, that's a even more positive setup, because people are actually starting to make money, and they're feeling comfortable to take the risk. The commercial activity, I thought when we had the revitalization, would be a little bit stronger, and we'd get more developers interested, but to date we have one. And that's when we did the Brink Wilson letter, and there's been no more activity on that. So land use isn't in our deal, but in our scope of things, but I was anticipating with that revitalization that more developers would come through. So we'll see what happens. I have some bad news. Our engineer is the Wallace Group, but our engineer that's actually assigned to us is Doug Grosshart. And those of you that have met Doug and you've seen him present when different things here.
Engineer position. Okay. Perhaps Molly can help us draft the language on that.
I attended the administrative hearing for the sanitation district from start to finish, and it was interesting. I have no idea which way it's going to go, and I don't think anybody really has any which way to go. For those of you that didn't attend, Karen, Director White was there the whole time. It ebbed and flowed, and I just don't have any deal other than that I really hope that they don't fine us, because then it's just going to take money out of our ratepayers' pockets, and right now that we don't need that. And my feeling as from the get-go has been, you know, it's our problem, let us fix it. So anyways, but that hearing will be on October 3rd. And since I sat through that one, I figured I might as well sit through this one, too.
But I think the next hearing, they're just going to deliberate, probably be closed door, and then come out and announce
a
decision.
It was pretty interesting, though. Other than that, I'm open to questions.
I'll start at the end. Director White?
Not really.
Okay. Mary?
Just one, we should probably schedule a personnel committee. Would you look at the schedule? And
sure.
Could
we put that in October timeframe? Can you wait, or do you want it sooner?
No, it's, what is it now? I mentally checked out for a couple weeks, so what is the date?
They say 12th.
The 12th?
September.
September, the month. October was a good month. Is there going to be a candidate leadership forum?
Yes, on the 2nd.
On the 2nd, not the 1st?
Yes, the 2nd.
The 2nd?
October.
Okay. And do we have, so just make sure that doesn't, I think it's, we should do that.
Okay. One last thing. We got the grand jury report came out, and they actually said some very glowing things about our ability to put all our information up on the web, and the only thing they cited us for was not putting our minutes up on the web, and so our minutes are now on the web, but they hailed the Friday report. and that started way before I got here, so that's...
You know, that's good that they took the time to say, you know, you're doing a good job here, and, you know, just post this, so, yeah. I think good that we pat ourselves on the back.
All right. And if you recall, if you see the grand jury report, they reviewed all the community services districts and made recommendations. It was kind of a blush review, I think. I don't think it was a very in-depth review, but they did review all of them. And everybody had something. Some CSDs got lauded, and other ones got slammed. So it was interesting.
Yeah.
It's worth looking at.
Yeah, it's like, you know, that teacher that just has to flunk one person.
Personal experience?
Yes, personal experience.
Anything else, Tom?
That's all I can think of, unless anybody asks questions.
Director White, Mary didn't... Director,
no, I'm not going to talk about it.
Lori?
No.
Okay. Why don't we move on to Board of Directors and Outside Committees. We'll start with Director Angelo.
Okay. I did go to the... RAC meeting. I was a little bit late getting there, but mostly what was discussed, I went, was the Memorandum of Understanding, which is ongoing, and it's a little hard to track
all that happens because you have a very small, minute group that seem to be working with everything, and then when you get to this meeting, you've got, you know, 50 people sitting there and not enough time to ask all the questions, and it's kind of difficult to follow some of what they've done. So this has helped a great deal with getting information with the draft form for me as well. But it seems like it's moving on, and they're looking for approval soon. The draft has been submitted, and I believe they're going to go to the supervisors here shortly with the recommendations. I would like to kind of see if we could get a little more involvement with maybe on some of these subcommittees so we can figure out what they're doing, because you don't get all the information. You get kind of a little spot of this, a little spot of that. And to try to ask questions, it's like, you know, beating the other arms up first, because there's such a limited time to discuss anything with this. And I'm thinking perhaps maybe I ought to try to set up an appointment with the county or Mr. Wynn and directly go in and ask him some questions so I can get clarification on it. But other than that, everything seems like it's going to roll that way.
I'd work with you on that, Lori.
Yeah.
I'd go to Courtney and see, okay, you know,
that's
what committee
kind of what
she could
put,
see which one she would recommend me to go to, and
okay,
and you go to Mike and see.
Excuse me. On the 27th of August, excuse me, and Julie Andrew Scott, I love her name, attended, and she is, in my terms, the guru of a farmer's market in the area, and she spoke to our group. We didn't have as many people as I would have liked to have seen there. However, the people that were there stepped forward. I asked for volunteers for committee to spearhead our farmer's market project, and instead I got individuals who stepped forward willing to become the committee for the Oceano Revitalization Committee, which is wonderful. It would encompass everything from the projects that the county has presented down to including farmers markets.
Yay.
So yes, I'm very proud of the individuals and very excited to get started on that. We will be having an informal meeting on the 17th of September here at 5:30, and all interested parties, I ask you to attend.
What's the date on that again?
That's Monday, September 17th.
And that's at 5:30?
At 5:30.
You have a meeting that day at 3 too, right? Is that right? Am I off?
Yes, we changed it to the fourth Monday of the month. So.
Okay.
And then as far as the fire authority goes and the memorandum of understanding, I would like to hold off on making a report on that. I had a discussion with the chief today, and there are a couple more issues that need to be settled, and one may change the bottom line, and I'd rather have the most accurate information before I give that report, so that'll be pending the signing of the memorandum. And I too would like to have a finance meeting.
Okay.
We're getting towards the end of the year, so if you could schedule that.
Ooh, that sounds exciting.
And I think that's it for me.
Thelma, you're forgetting something important.
Pardon me?
You're forgetting something important.
What's that?
At the fire meeting on Friday.
Oh, that's right. We're having a swearing-in.
They're having a swearing-in. And where are those firefighters and engineers going to go?
Oh, we've got use for them. Yeah, we've got... they're going to build our crews up from 8 to 10. Yeah, the SAFER grant... recognition if we can get it, and that's what I'm pushing for, and the chief is working and doing a good job, and you know, I just, this is a great thing. So, and of course Tom is very good too with his negotiating prowess, and you know, and even I have to say with this memorandum of understanding, I'm very, very proud of the local. Was it 4033?
4403.
Yeah, 4403, because they made concessions in this economic time to come to an understanding to with the authority, and you know, that's just big.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm very pleased with the direction the authority is going, and it's really an honor and a thrill for me to be working with them. So
anyway, what I was getting to is those there's extra booths coming into our station.
Yes, 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 to our station. Yes, right. We're going to have our station with our crews are going to go from, not just our station, but mm-hmm. the crews are going to go from 8-man crews to 10-man crews.
Right, but yeah. with three men here. In our station instead of two.
Yes.
Which is nice. I'll actually, do you want to comment on the ACL hearing?
Well, I was there for 12 hours, and when I left, my head was full. There was a lot of information, things presented on both sides that I found very interesting, and as Tom said, this could go either way. It could just go either way. There were facts that were presented on both sides, and then I saw a lot of assumptions, and the biggest thing that I think we have going on our favor, if past practice comes into play, is finding out that there is discretionary decision making that can take place in situations like this, and there was documentation that in like manner spills or events, people were not as charged as much as we were. And I think that with that being a fact, that really goes in our favor very strongly. But once again, the determination is going to be made by the committee, but that was good hearing those type of things come out.
So. Thank you, Director Hurdle.
You're welcome.
Why don't we go to the end? Director White?
Hi, yeah. I was also at that hearing for 16 hours. I didn't, for the Sand District, that was heard after 8 hours, mm-hmm. after an 8-hour workday, mm-hmm. by a bunch of very nice people who were, some of them older than me. After 16 hours, I hope their brains were still functioning. But I was surprised that all the rainwater becomes sewer water.
I mean, anything that goes into the plant has to be treated.
Well, anything that goes into the plant, but also it counts the lagoon water that flooded into the plant, and it counts the water that goes into the storm drains from the rain that goes into the plant. That was all part of the volume that they counted. So it's like, yes, there was a sewer spill, there was also a rainwater spill, and there was also an Oceana Lagoon spill, but it's all tapped to the sewer plant.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that, I didn't quite realize that until I heard all the engineering stuff.
And also, too, some of the graphs that they showed, I found very interesting because it showed the pump, what the water level really looked like when the pumps were flowing. And to me, that gave a lot of clarity to a lot of the questions that people were asking. And they showed several different graphs, different ways that kind of matched up, that showed that it might not have been as large as it appeared to be. So it was very interesting, but very tedious. And boy, seriously, I was exhausted when I got home trying to figure out everything that was presented.
Well, I think one other thing that makes me feel positive is the people that were the hearing officers were admonished like they were a jury.
Yes.
After, this was clear at the end that when they went home at 12:45 a.m., they were not to contact each other or talk to each other about the case. They could read all the material, all the evidence that was given, but they could not discuss it. They will not be able to really discuss it other than studying themselves until they get back together on October 3rd. Mm-hmm. And I was surprised about that. It's like, sequestered jury or something.
Right.
And also, I was at a Zone 1-1A tech meeting. Zone 3 tech meeting, excuse me. I don't know whether I'm coming or going these days. At the end of the meeting, and you had already gone, Tom, to another meeting, but they were talking about the studying of the Oceana Lagoon and how they had slipped in that again. Wouldn't that be nice?
Yes.
Yeah. So anyway, that was very interesting, and I think that's about it.
Vice President Lucy.
Well, I have to apologize. I've been on vacation, but I did go visit two sewer plants while I was gone.
Yeah.
One in my hometown, that's in the back field. They're on septic, haha. And I also learned that there are only two highway patrol on Highway 5 going through Oregon, the entire state.
Seriously?
And I double-checked it, and I saw people testing it, and it is a U.S. Autobahn. Yes, it is. You know?
I love it.
So I don't have any committees. But I did visit two sewer plants. I really did.
I went to the ACL spill hearing, and I also went to the sanitation district meeting. As you can imagine, most of the discussion had to do with the upcoming ACL. The sanitation district meeting was the 5th of September. The hearing was on the 7th. I think I'm constrained to talk about my impressions from the hearing, other than to point out the evidence was interesting. There was something that struck me, and I think everybody has kind of mentioned it, but nobody's mentioned it out loud. And it was that the state, after a year and a half, seemed ill-prepared. And it was very interesting to watch them put on a hearing. It seemed that the state's experts or attorneys hadn't reviewed all of the evidence and weren't up to speed. And it was kind of a surprise. The defense case came on. I think you guys bear out to this. I think it came on stronger than more people thought it was going to. Until the end, Tom says. I didn't make it. I left about 7:30. I've been there 11 hours, and I left about 7:30 because I had to go get my kids. But there was some good stuff and bad stuff, and I think I can report fairly accurately that there are different ways to calculate the spill volume. That, and I think we got that. And one of the things that was interesting was the state was claiming, well, no, you can only you can calculate it this way. This is the best way to calculate it. And then Melissa Thorm from Downey Brand, who's representing the district at that hearing, pulled out a state of California. They didn't know that this was a problem because these seals that were supposedly not in the conduit, you couldn't see them. The other side of that was that then plant superintendent Mr. Appleton testified that, no, we knew all about it, and I brought it to the board, and I brought them burnt wire, and I told them this is going to be a problem, and I predicted this problem would happen, and this is exactly what happened. And so it'll be interesting to see what the board decides to hang their hats on, because the board was asking very pointed questions. And we're obviously very familiar with the evidence and asking the questions. And so it'll be interesting to see what they do. I'm anxious to see what happens on October 3rd. I think, obviously, there was a missing chair there. A lot of people were upset at the county because the spill was one thing. The flood was another. Mm-hmm. And it was, I don't want to call it the perfect storm, but it was definitely a convergence of events that had a synergistic effect that created this whole problem. And I think the people got that, and I think that the constituents get that if there is a fine, that it's going to fall back on the communities. And I think people are upset about that it's not going to, you know, to date we don't have any insurance coverage. It has been tendered, finally. But there is not insurance coverage. We have not heard back to date. Starting for this fiscal year, which is July and August, I think we're over $100,000 in legal bills. And that doesn't include the expenses that the Wallace Group is charging for their man hours, there was a warrant for $50,000 for July, and I think it was, I'm sorry, I didn't bring it, $50,000 or $80,000 for August. And they're not broken out. It's something that we're asking about, is how much goes to the spill, how much goes to administration, where are these monies being divided. Tom, Manager Gieslin, had sent in a request for this. It was not responded to in a significant manner, I would say. And there was no details. They basically said, refer to our warrants. And so I did see the letter that came back. If you refer to their warrants and say, okay, then all $50,000 and $80,000 each of these particular months has gone towards the spill, you know, it's going to be an issue. And you know, I think that the individual councils and our board is going to have to probably look at the money that's being spent and figure out if That's the most efficient way to... really early into the hearing, they withdrew that. Mm-hmm. They withdrew that and said, okay, you guys are not liable for this. They're not coming after Oceano. They're not coming after the Sand District. But, you know, behave next time.
No, that was the $75,000 that the Regional Water Board has spent to bring the case.
Yes, they've spent, according to them, $75,000 conservatively that they're seeking to have our ratepayers pay. So it'll be interesting to see. And I don't know which way it's going to go. The State Water Board is not constrained. The $1.4 million is a recommendation. Mm-hmm. They could go higher. They could go lower. And so I think the public, my perspective is the public is going to wait and see what happens, and then we're going to see a reaction one way or the other from the public. So that's the last report. Why don't we take a break? It's 8:18 p.m. We'll take a 10-minute break. Thanks. This meeting back to order, the Oceana Community Services District. It is 8:30 p.m. We just finished with agenda items number 7. We'll move on to agenda item number 8, public comment. Is there any other public comment this evening at agenda item number 8? I see Ms. Tacker coming forward. I believe you have 2 minutes left, ma'am.
And these are for items 9?
Yes.
Through
9 through
G,
11.
Through G. 9 through 11.
Or actually 9 through 12, 12, 13.
Okay. I'll just stay on the 9s. 9A, the lease of the Jetter vacuum. You have it agendized as a $110,000 expenditure. I saw proposals that exceed $150,000. I don't think that's agendized properly. I'd like to know what fund the purchase will come from. I'd like to see a utility committee and finance recommendation before any such purchase is made. And lease proposals were not included in your packet. The item 9C, the approval of the sewer system management plan, something that I saw was your operational chart for the employees. You have Mr. Hughes in this document a conflict of interest in that they work for other districts within the NCMA group, and if we're going to look for grants, etc., you want someone looking just for your district, and I think Mr. Geislin is qualified to do this work. He has a financial background. He certainly should start with a credit check of the district, the Standard & Poor's rating, and I just don't know why we would just go to WSC, what makes them the best for the job, and my time is up.
Thank you, Ms. Tacker. Is there any other public comment this evening? All right. Nobody's standing up. We'll move on to item number 9A, permission to purchase or lease Jetter vacuum. It does say $110,000, recommended approval. Tom.
I need to give a clarification on this. When we, in the we us, right, put this together, we have an
obsolete Jetter machine that isn't even worth the scrap to get rid of it. And so when we have sewer issues, we have to either borrow AGs and cross-coordinate. And early on, we can limp along with that, but quite candidly, we need our own facility, piece of equipment to maintain that. So the boys went through, the boys meaning the field staff went through, and identified three or four different things. We looked at purchasing a Vactor truck, which is several hundred thousand dollars, and then we got the option on this trailer up that we got put forward. So in the financial analysis of getting this vehicle, this is this trailer unit, this is what we feel we need, but I have still yet to go to CSDA finance and see what my lease options are. And this is mainly an informational thing that says we've got this expense that we're going to have to go do because we need it. One, we need it for the to clean the sewers. Two, we need it to camera the sewers. And three, we need to be able to handle our own emergencies and not count on our other people that we are sister agencies with. So this is just an update you to show you the machine that we're looking at, and I will come back to you with an approved proposal. Here's the other fun thing. In all the policies and procedures that have been in this place for shortly, somebody will have the ability to go and follow the rules. Don't look that confused. I was just
now, Tom,
wanted to see some smiles.
Let me handle the humor.
You're talking about an RFP process, right?
I'm talking about the RFP in the...
Not necessarily the RFP process.
It's a purchasing procedure. But go ahead.
We just need a procedure, a policy and procedure in place for purchasing equipment. It's not necessarily an RFP. It's different from a bidding procedure for construction-type projects, but the district needs a policy, even if it is the general manager brings it to the board and the board approves it.
Okay.
I don't think that's a good policy, but you need a written policy in place.
All right.
Which we don't seem to have.
Okay. Great. Another thing, too. Well,
and this brings up another point. How did they spend the money on the Tyler system? There was no policy procedure.
They spent it over Mary's
story,
objection.
I know.
Dumb
but I'm
answer.
Just,
yeah.
If we'd had this in place, a lot of the gripes I think that we had wouldn't.
They would have just been ignored.
Been an issue.
Another thing too, I wanted to ask you about is that you had included sales tax in one of your sample bids.
That was a bid from one of the people. All that has to be fine tuned. Nobody's sat down and had the meeting
okay,
with them. Says
because
this
I don't way. Think that I think don't we fall under some kind of tax exemption because we are government. So just
right.
Keep that in mind when you go through that. I think we're tax exempt because we are a district.
All that will be ironed out when we go to it. So when I come back to you, when one will have the procedure, which I'm hoping we'll approve at the next meeting.
And then
you will come back with the quotes
right.
With everything ironed out because none of those have had me take pen to paper with a guy across the
right.
Desk from me to say, what are we really going to pay?
And last but not least, it's, I know the rate increases were hard on everybody in Oceano, but due to the rate increases, we're able to buy this equipment now.
It's not just the rate increases, it's the money that we got back from the
exactly.
FEMA reimbursement.
But the rate increases, we are using that money wisely to build the infrastructure up of the town. So just so people are rest assured that their money, just because there was an increase in the creating a policy.
right.
Part, so that'd be a two-piece proposal. One is to give staff the authority to put together policies and procedures around purchase agreements.
We'll calendar that.
We're going to try to present a policy for discussion and possible approval by the next meeting so we can keep this
okay,
meeting.
So then I won't make that motion since it's already in play.
Is this the specific machine you want or just the kind of machine you want?
No, it's a specific machine that we want.
Looks that, really good.
That's the best fit for our group right now.
And this would handle emergency spills?
It has a vector unit so we can dig out. It has the ability to suck up spills. It has the ability to clean out lines. It'll have the high-tech camera so we can camera our lines.
All right.
It'll have a jetting unit and a large-scale rotor-rooter unit that we can implement as well.
Thank you.
Lori, you might remember this too, and Karen, remember that right after the earthquake, that truck drove around town doing all our lines
yep.
and everything? And what did that truck cost us? Between $40,000 and $50,000 for them just to
probably at least that, yeah.
To drive around and check, send a camera people. Down, and they were
yeah.
here for a couple months, I think.
Yeah, they
you
were
know,
all over the place.
So. Yeah, this thing can go from your house all the way to housing.
So if I could get an, so if I could get an approval to go forward on that.
I have a couple concerns for you to look at when you're getting more information for us. One of them is one of the letters talks about the California emission requirements and special permits, is to find out how much those are going to be.
Yeah, that's our friends, the APCD.
Your buddies.
My buddies. And there's going to be a fee on it, but the reality of it is it's a fact of life. Now, if I have to get trailer tags on it, then it's movable, so that might give me an argument that I don't need to pay that. But there's going to be, somebody's going to get their pound of flesh.
Well, we have that issue with our generator. We have that mobile generator that we can only use 20 hours a year,
right?
Which isn't much good to us. You know, like, for example, if that generator, when the sanitation district's generators didn't work and they had called us out, you know, we would have hit 20 hours. We would have half of that in the first day.
I think emergency Oceano to knock it through. Like today, when we redid the lift station, we had to move sewer fluid and pump it out so we had time to take those valves out without spilling the sewer.
Right.
So we used, Roy Granny has this huge Vactor truck, and it's a wonderful piece of equipment, and goes down and it sucks it, and they take it over to another manhole, and it ejects it.
What do they charge us for that?
A couple hundred dollars an hour.
Okay. Are we going to be able to rent ours out? Or is that something we would?
We would respond, but it wouldn't be the goal to rent it out.
Okay. Well, my question is our sewer system, our trunk lines need jetted, they need cleaned out, and I understand it's a periodic maintenance thing that probably hasn't been done as often as it should be. You know, I don't know what we spend to do that versus where's the point of diminishing returns on paying for it to be done, renting one, or owning it. And so
the problem with when we do these stuff with our sister agency, we're at their schedule, and if they have an issue, then they're going to pull in the middle of ours. This is something that we really need. We should be doing it. We have been clean so far with some internal spills inside the house, where it's been the lateral problem going back to the house, somebody stuffed a clean out wrong or whatever. We're on a thin line, and we can't afford to not be prepared to handle this stuff in the future.
Yeah. And I'm in support of following up on
this. No, I know, but these are good questions. But the reality of the situation is if we don't do something now, when are we going to do it? And it's my job to go and get it at the best price and then get it at the best financial thing to the district. I mean, in a perfect world, it'd be a five-year lease, right? And then it's costing us $20,000 a year, and we're going to use it, and we buy it back for a dollar, that type of thing.
And I will say, I have seen the old jetter, and it's just dilapidated and looks dangerous. It's probably worth the scrap. That's probably all it's worth.
It's
just taking up space at the yard. So that's great, Tom. We'll keep going.
Okay. So I need a vote to approve, or a motion and a vote to approve this.
I thought we were just giving you direction to keep negotiating or to keep looking into it. Yeah, okay. Why don't we just direct you to keep working on it. Moving on to item number 9.
The tanks, there's some well alarms all throughout Oceano. Stanley Security is this big company that they have a big out call center, and when we forward the phones over, our answering service, if it's a well alarm or Stanley Security, they will get a call and from Stanley Security, and they'll notify our guy. If it's during normal business hours, Stanley Security will call the office. We've had numerous incidents over the last 3 or 4 months where we will knowingly set off alarms because we're doing preventive maintenance, and we'll get a call from Stanley Security 12 hours later.
Oh. Ooh.
And when I call Stanley Security and ask for their rep to come out here and say we have a problem, it's gone unanswered. So I looked at what our other people are doing, and our other people have auto dialers, and that's what the system is, and we are going to auto dial from key areas throughout the district and that will go directly to our answering service, and they will call the appropriate person.
What is Stanley?
Nine times out of ten, Stanley Security will call a field supervisor that hasn't worked here in 3 years, and they will also call a field USO guy that hasn't worked here in 3 years. And despite the fact that we've updated them with contact lists and all this other stuff. So I've reached a point that I can't deal with them anymore. It's also time we get in the 21st century and get these auto dialers in place and then calls our service and we go forward.
What is Stanley charging us every month?
It's a couple $100 a month.
Okay, so this pays for itself.
But here's the deal. If one of our tanks overflows and all that water goes to atmosphere and we flood out the school or we flood out, you know, and we get the notice 6 hours later, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
The other thing is that with these auto dialers, we already pay for dispatch. Mm-hmm. So we can have these auto dialers go directly to dispatch, and dispatch can go directly to us. So it becomes a more tighter, unique deal. So, one, it's a major problem. This is the correction for it. I want to spend the money to go forward. Roy Grandy uses this method. I don't know what the sanitation district uses. I know I believe Grover uses this method. And I'm trying to stay on par with what our sister agencies use.
It's over. I had already jumped to E. Sorry. Okay, I move that we purchase, install auto dialer systems at lift station and water yard for an estimate of $10,000.
Call second.
All right, I have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Looks like we're cutting out the middleman.
Don't say that too loud. Sylvester's alarm, we had them for years, never had a problem, got a call, and as soon as they switched over to Sylvester's,
right, it's a joke.
It went down the tubes, and the money went up, and I got, like you, a little upset and said, I'm sorry, this isn't working.
Moving on to item number 9C, approval of sewer system management plan, dated August 15th, 2012. Tom?
Okay, this is in response to regulations by the State Water Control Board. We last had one done in 2010. This is an update, and it's effective as of August 15th. And I need a approval to accept it, and I'm open to any questions.
I did have a question regarding the... I read somewhere in here that the grant distribution would be a contingent upon update funding.
On the sewer plant? Or on city?
Yes, yeah. Oh, the sewer plant. No, what was the other thing that we're doing tonight?
This right here.
Yeah, I know. Okay.
The auto dialer? No.
Oh, the memorandum of understanding.
Right.
It's in that. Okay, excuse me.
Sure.
This is the one she's looking at.
You should be looking at this one.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's got it.
Right. It's in the other piece, the draft for the integrated regional water management program. There's funding in that, I think.
Okay, so they want us to update maps?
Well, I'll note on 4.6 on the overflow emergency response plan, the second to last paragraph, it's just verbiage, but it says the district is scheduled to participate in a practical SSO response training for the SSMP audit. It identifies the parties who participated in doing this. Some are past employees or will be very soon.
Well, because what happened was when they do the audit, they have to capture who was here at the time.
Okay.
And that's why it's listed there. Yeah, there's definitely been some changes.
Some personnel changes, right?
There's one key thing here too that I need to point to your attention. Back at 4.6, it says the SysQs or CWICs. Mm-hmm. Where it talks about reporting. In the past, up until I want to say January of this year, Wallace Group reported all the CWICS data, and CWICS, is, as we've learned from the administrative hearing, is an evolving tool, and Wallace used to report for us and anybody, and we changed that, so now we report, and we're our own officer, and we report our own problems.
Well, as we learned from the hearing, there's some specific dates and such. Do we have a
We've satisfied all those.
An action guide on how to...
We have an SOP, good. And we have everything covered on it.
Okay. I did have a question on 4.4.2, second paragraph, the capital improvement budget and high maintenance area and sewer system cleaning schedule included needed to be updated.
Right. That's the findings of their audit.
Pardon me?
That was the findings of their audit.
Right.
So
where are we in that?
We do have a maintenance schedule that we're putting in place. That piece of equipment that I just asked you to give me $110,000 approval on is going to be part of that.
Okay.
So what you have here is this document is kind of a mix. It's where we're deficient, what we're going to do, and it encompasses all our whole district.
Great.
Now, we wrote this in conjunction with Doug Grosshart and Anastasia Malonis from Wallace Group, but Aaron and previous employees had active input.
Okay, thank you.
So I need a motion for you to approve this.
I'm going to move, this is 9E, permission to move forward and apply for USDA, CDBG, and various grants to secure financial resources to improve infrastructure of water distribution and sewer collection with an estimated cost of $10,000. And I know we have a WSC report, Tom?
Yeah, there's a... So our speaker from the audience is correct. WSC is a facilitator for us on the northern cities, but they are, it's not just one or two guys. They have a whole staff of people, and they excel at grant writing, and they have tremendous history with the USDA. And there are other grants that we're going after, like I'm going to work with the county on the community developed block grant. I'm going to Washington, D.C. On my own nickel for something else, but I'm also going to stop by and see some of the people in Washington to make sure that Oceano gets the attention it deserves. So this is just one wave of grants that I want to pursue. And they've given us the cost estimate here, and I think it's in line. The speaker from the audience was right. I could get involved in this, but quite candidly, I don't know where I'm going to find the time. And so I'd much rather let them go at it and see what it brings.
I think the study of best practices sometimes is to bring in people that are good at what they do.
I agree.
And just get out of their way.
I'll still oversee it. You know, it's like I can do the day-to-day accounting too, but it's like then I won't be able to go and get involved with other things that I need to get involved with. And right now, I'm so focused on getting the field caught up that this will fill a much needed void.
Just a little history, Tom. When I first came on the board, I had talked about bringing on a grant writer, and we released an RFP for qualifications for a company that specializes in just grant writing, right? And the board did go through a process. They did pick a grant writing entity at that time. It's been so long, you know. But there was also, I think it was $10,000 of... startup funds to secure a grant writer. So the board has taken action on securing a grant writing entity, consulting entity. And that would have been March of 09.
Well, I can go back and look at it, but I don't remember seeing any grant money coming in.
Well, it never, it actually, the recession hit, the earthquake hit, and it was thrown to the back burner and buried. So what you're doing is in line with what some of us had for the future. So I think you're just picking it up where the ball left off, but you do have the endorsement of this board.
I think so.
Yeah.
Mr. President.
And there was a dollar amount attached to it, and I think it was put in one of those annual budgets.
Okay. Director Hurdle had a question.
Not a question, a comment. Tom, I want to thank you for bringing us to this point in time.
Yeah.
All of the hard work that you did.
It's our next step.
It is.
This is great. Thank you so much.
It's our next step.
Totally makes sense.
And have you guys noticed how we're turning a corner from reacting to things that are happening to being proactive
and
making things happen?
Yes.
So, Tom, thank you.
I have a question.
It's all part of the job. The thing that we need to realize is that we can continue to do things with baling wire and duct tape, or we can do it right. And
it's cheaper.
These guys already know where a lot of the rocks are, and we can use them, and then we can bring them in here. If we don't like what we get, then Director Lucy can beat them up again like she did the last time they were here.
Which ones?
WSC guys. The taller guy that was here, I ran into him at the Elks Club a couple weeks back, and he says, "Hey, I remember you." So, and he was very friendly and very supportive of the district. One of the things
they've been a real support to us, and it's just to me, I think it's a good opportunity. Plus, you know, taking nothing away from our district engineer, but I would like a second set of eyes to look at what we're doing as well. Not to cast aspersions, but to, okay, how can we be more efficient? How can we be better?
That's right.
That makes
and
sense.
So that's the other set.
And I particularly like the fact that this group specializes in water.
Okay.
You know.
Director White?
It's grant writing.
Yes. Are these people involved in any way with Los Osos Sewer?
I believe not.
I didn't see that they were in this.
No, but I can check that.
It's not something you put on your resume.
Well, I know, but if it's something that could use a lot of their time is what I was thinking more like.
Right.
We want their attention.
I will ask them, but to my knowledge, they're not.
Yeah. They certainly didn't have it listed here.
Right.
Looks like they've done some good work.
They've been providing support to the NCMA, and they've done little projects here. They have a good relationship. They have a representative, Spencer Waterman, I believe is his name, and he goes to all the RAC meetings. Daniel Heimel and I go to the Santa Maria Groundwater Basin meetings together, because as I am the NCMA rep to that, as long as Daniel. And I just enjoy the professionalism, and they don't pull any punches, and that's what we need right now.
So. Well, I think that works well with your style.
Right.
Too. So I'll entertain a motion. To approve?
I have one more question.
Oh, go ahead.
Are we going to be competing then with the Rio Grande and the other cities locally here for the grant funds?
No.
With the same group?
You forget Oceano is a economically challenged area, and there's...
That's kind of what I thought, but I thought...
There's more money available to us. And they're listing USDA, and there's... it's California Drink, which is the California Department of Public Health. They have money. There's money at the state level.
HUD.
And then we have money at our own county level. So. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and HUD's always, they're really, you've beaten the bushes for for little towns like ours.
Right. So,
you know, unfortunately, they just don't have the skill sets to put the proposals together. And we're there.
Okay. And if you notice, The bid here is for only $5,600.
Right.
But as we open doors to more projects, I don't want to be in a hurry up and wait mode.
Okay.
So.
Well, I'll make the motion. I move that we approve and direct staff to move forward and apply for USDA, CDBG, and various grants to secure financial resources to improve the infrastructure of water distribution and sewer collection, that they contract with Water System Consulting Incorporated for a cost not to exceed $10,000.
Second.
All right, I have a motion and a second. Can I get a roll call vote? Do I need a roll call? Or you can do it by... Actually, I can do it by... sorry, I'm fumbling the ball. Okay, we'll do roll call vote since we're here. Okay, Carol Ann.
Maybe it's the chocolate, our ice cream.
Our caffeine's running out. Carol Ann, we're going to do a roll call vote.
President Guerrero?
Yes.
Director White?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director Hurdle?
Yes.
Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0. Moving on to item number 9F, Memorandum of Understanding, MOU, for Regional Water Management Group, RWMG. Yeah. Recommend review and approval. Can I get a staff report, Tom?
The staff report is actually the letter from the county.
Correct.
And we already have a signed MOU on this issue.
Right.
And this is they're making an update to it.
Mm-hmm.
And in my estimation of everything that has been going on with this, it is in our best interest to remain signatories on this, and so I'm asking for your approval.
I agree. Okay. So are we contributing anything right now to the resources of this?
Are we what?
On 4.4, personnel and financial resources. It is expected that program participants, which is what we are, correct?
Correct. Yes.
Okay, will contribute the resources necessary to fulfill the responsibilities listed within Section 4 of this MOU. Program participants that receive implementation grant funding shall contribute a proportionate share of the non-project costs associated with the grant agreement. Is that saying that when we get a grant, some of that money goes back to the finances to update, the continue the updating of this?
Updating the plan?
Of the memorandum?
No.
What is that actually saying? Are we going to be...
It says non-project costs associated with grant agreement based upon award implementation funding, contributing towards the cost of updating the plan.
For example, contributing, and this is what I really want to understand. For example, contributing towards the cost of updating the plan, should that be a condition of the grant award? So if we're not contributing, the grants that come across, we don't get any money?
I'm not understanding your question.
I think what are you asking if there's a cost to this?
Yes.
I think that's what she's asking.
Yeah, is there a cost to this for us?
There shouldn't be on the MOU.
Project costs.
Unless you're providing a service. Are we providing a service?
No, it says the program participants will contribute.
Yeah.
And we
Can
are
you point me to that paragraph one more time?
Okay, 4.4.
4.4.
4.4.
Yeah, it says personnel and financial resources.
I don't think we're the clients, though. I think we're just agreeing to...
Participants will contribute.
...to collaborate, but I don't think we're the client. I don't know.
Well, does it say client, though? It says participant.
There is a possibility that this will cost us money.
Yeah. Okay.
Let me give you an example.
Okay.
Part of this... MOU is a supplement to what you guys do at the RAC.
Right.
Okay. The county had X millions of dollars that were left over from the Nacimiento Water Project, which the RAC was going to write proposals, grade proposals, to give to the Board of Supervisors to approve.
Okay.
different agencies within our group, which is the NCMA, came up with proposals for that. One was money for a regional water plan. There's a thing with the county on pigging our lines from Lopez. And we would write proposals to go for those grants. Oceano could have been the lead agency to write those one or two of those proposals, but because in our state of flux, it wasn't beneficial for us to be the lead agent because, quite candidly, I don't think we could have supported it in the way we needed to support it. So if we got the grant money would be used for that mission, and any external cost that wasn't covered by the grant, we would pony up. Now, I didn't have Marie run a cost estimate, but, you know, occasionally we'll get a deal for $1,000, that type of thing.
Okay.
So we don't get to pay for free, but we also have the beneficial of being a signatory of this MOU,
sure,
that it elevates us on the status of what we're doing.
Okay, that's all, okay, I wanted to know. Thank you.
And since we're already a member, it's just updating it.
Sure.
I don't really see a problem, mm-hmm, here. Any other discussion?
I have none.
I'll entertain a motion.
I'd like to make a motion for the Memorandum of Understanding for the Regional Water Management Group. That's all I need to say.
Second.
Yeah. Something else I was going to say, but I forgot what it was now.
So I have a motion to approve. I have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Looks like there's a...
You know what? Go ahead. I actually think we should do a roll call.
Yeah,
on
this one needs to...
Okay, let's go back then. Carol Ann, I think you're probably correct.
Filling in.
It was made by Director Angelo and then seconded by...
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
Director Hurdle?
Yes.
President Guerrero?
Yes.
Director White?
Yes.
Okay, motion carries 5-0, and then it needs a signature, printed name, agency, and date. The question will be, is that my signature or Tom's, or should we both sign it?
I think both of us.
Yeah. Oh, these damn...
But this is a draft, and so I'll ask her to send the formal one, and we'll just sign it.
Ask her who signs it on behalf of the district, that's fine. It is approved. Moving on to item number 9G, review of Assembly Bill 340, which was attached in our packet.
Okay. You should have got placed before you the California Special Districts CSDA summary of Assembly Bill 340. And you also, there was the CSDA belongs to a law firm. And the law firm, or has a law firm that provided their breakdown of the Reform Act. So I have made copies because I just got this today.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
And I don't want to go through the whole Assembly Bill 340, though I did participate in two conference calls and a webinar on this, and quite candidly, this is the pension reform that we've all heard the state was going to come through, and we're PERS contracts with all our employees here, and we don't have any pressing need to... because we pay the employee and employer portion of PERS. That's one of our benefits. We don't have a pressing need to modify our PERS contract, but this is just to keep you informed of what's coming down the pipe. Mm-hmm. The one thing I want to point out is this addresses new hires only, and so we would have to have a discussion in a with our personnel committee and then bring it back to the board if we want to incorporate this. But this gives you the basic understanding. Now, in Director Hurdle's case, We dealt with the JPA, and this formulates what's going on with the JPA. Our sister agencies all have this issue that they need to address. Because we're so small, we tend not to, but if the board wanted to make that direction, they could. What this fails to do is it fails to address the 800-pound gorilla sitting in the room of all the people that are under existing PERS contracts that are taking in money. And you can go to the website that the state has, and you can see, I mean, it's not just Bell that people were taking excessive distributions. It's all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that came forward, and I didn't report to you earlier on, was that I got a letter from PERS saying that they believe that this year alone, they've got close to $440 million worth of illegal beneficiaries on PERS that are signed up in the PERS system.
Yeah.
So in other words, if you were married and you got divorced, mm-hmm. and you kept your ex-husband still on the PERS, you have an adult child that's still on PERS, they listed 9 different things, and I'm like, wait a minute, your job is to watch this stuff. Mm-hmm. Well, they're setting aside $40 million for invalid claims.
Wow.
And what the consensus is, in talking with my other city managers, is that they're going to put the onus on us to verify that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, it actually makes more sense. This is at the local
right.
level.
But so this is just an explanation right. of the reform. It was signed into law. The governor signed it in. You've got our CSDA association's view, and then you also have the attorneys for the CSDA. And Jennifer, if you want one, or give you guys a copy as well.
I think it's appropriate for the personnel committee to take this up so that we have a policy in place before there's new hires.
Yeah.
Because we may have some turnover, we may have some new hires go on in the district, and I think that it would be good to know on the front end when they're interviewing, well, you know, we offer a PERS on the new schedule or the old schedule.
Well, it's going to create a nightmare because we have
system.
Our existing people that are covered under the contract.
Right.
And then anybody new that we hire is going to be in a different contract. And so now you got a double set of accounting. And so for our size, and I'll lean on counsel to tell me, you know, are we allowed to maintain? But the board may take a different direction later.
I think that's something the personnel committee or the board should decide ahead of time.
Right.
Before we hire somebody and then say, by the way, you're not 3%, you're 2.7.
Right.
You know, that's.
So we'll make sure this is on the personnel committee agenda.
Okay, good.
We'll write it by then and stuff.
So there's no action.
Really, the big violation that they're going after, right, is people who have
double dipping,
retired, and then they go back to work for the people that they retired from for 680 hours a year.
960.
Mm-hmm. Huh?
960.
Mm-hmm. Okay, 959 hours, and then they retire again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then they retire, you know, so then they're pulling in 2 pensions, and that's where the big bucks are going out the door.
So there's your review. If you have questions, you can go to the CSDA website, and they have frequently asked questions. And they're handling it pretty well. I found when we did the first conference call when it was going to pass, there was probably 70 to 80 people like myself on the line. They gave a very good, concise deal. This is the way we think it's going to go. They immediately called for another one when it passed the assembly. And then they called again when the governor signed it. So. I doubt if there's been a piece of legislation that was looked at more besides Obamacare. That doesn't have any effect.
So this is going to take effect on January 1st?
Right.
So between now and January 1st,
right.
If you have employees, like you said, that are retiring and coming back to work for the same.
Right, but if you remember, we don't have anybody that's retired.
No, we don't. No.
We don't, but the other thing you need to remember is that we have a probationary period.
Right.
So if we hired anybody new, the existing staff is there. If we hire anybody new, then they could fall into this, so we will need a policy and procedure.
Right. I think we should address it now. And you might be right. It might be easier to leave them on an old system. Just for the accounting. Might cost us more. Moving on to item number 10A, will serve extension APN 075-011-041 OCSD project number 6702. This is the Coker-Ellsworth track 2424.
We addressed this the last time when I first came on board, and it's just a renewal. He's paid his renewal fee. There's no commercial action, and I need a roll call vote to approve it.
This is the one on Halcyon, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been out there for a while.
Yeah.
Seven residential units and a mini storage. Okay. Any other discussion? This, we've already approved this.
Just need approval again.
Okay.
Well, then I'll make the motion to approve APN 075-011-041, the OCSD project number 6702.
I'll second.
Carolyn?
President Guerrero?
Yes.
Director Hurdle?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
Director White?
Abstain.
Okay. Motion carries. Actually, I don't think abstain is right, but I think you're recusing yourself.
Yeah. Yes. Well, no, I was going to abstain anyway.
Okay.
I'm further away than 500.
Yeah.
Okay. Motion carries.
Ruiz Farm between you.
Moving on to item number 11, closed session. We have two issues. A is conference with legal counsel, anticipated litigation, significant exposure to litigation pursuant to subdivision B of section 54956.9B3C, claim made pursuant to the Torts Claims Act from Steve Langstaff, re-wrongful termination. Item B, public employment pursuant to subdivision B1 of section 54957 regarding district legal counsel position. It is 9:21. We'll go into closed session.
Matt,
yes.
For the audience, is there some way you can cut the audience loose so they don't have to wait for us to?
Well, we could ask. Will either of you have a public comment on item number 15, Jennifer? Or I'm sorry, I forgot the lady's name.
Mrs. Smith.
Mrs. Smith, do you have anything you want to comment on?
Okay.
No? Okay.
But since that, if the audience wants to leave, we don't know how long this will take.
I dropped an ice.
It's 9:21. Thanks.
So we're going to come back and
we'll come back. We'll announce.
Stuff
yep. Calling this meeting back to order. It's 9:49 p.m. We've just returned from closed session as to items A and B. There's no reportable action. And I don't know what I did with my agenda packet.
Well, I think it's about time for
here's one. No, item number 12, board member comments. Is there any board member comments at this time? I'll start with Director White.
Nothing from me at this time.
All right. Vice President Lucy.
You know what? Thank you guys so much for letting me go on that vacation. I had such a friggin' blast. And yes, I did get drunk. But I didn't ride my bike down the Oregon Trail.
The Autobahn?
The Autobahn.
Director Angelo.
Nothing.
Hurdle?
Yes. This week I ran into a county employee doing the posting for the October 1st disappearance of plastic bags effective the 1st,
Did the court ruling come out?
Yes. In effect of the first, paper bags will cost 10 cents apiece, and they will be added to the total of what groceries you buy. When I questioned her about low-income individuals, she said that there will be a distribution point where WIC is provided for them to get disposable bags, and probably at the Department of Social Services. Yeah.
And this is October 1st?
This is effective October 1st.
The easiest thing I found for me to do is that when I unload my groceries, I put all the bags into a bag, and I walk back out to that car, and I throw them in. Mm-hmm. And if I don't do that, I'm stuck getting paper and plastic. Yeah. So just grab them and throw them in the car.
That's what I do, too.
I have them all the time in my car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The grandkids take them out. Use them.
You know.
My only director comment is, Tom, you need a vacation.
Yeah, buddy.
It's been, you've been here, what, 14 months or so? And I don't think we've lost you for more than an afternoon.
No, I if you remember, I went back east last year.
But that wasn't a vacation. That was a family commitment.
And I'm leaving tomorrow, and I won't be back until the 24th.
24th? How about if we see you, like, the 29th?
No, there's too much to do. And we have a board meeting.
Yes. I hope you have a great time, and I hope you turn off your cell phone.
Yeah, why don't you turn off your
Actually, I need to clarify some stuff. So Marie McGrath will coordinate the office activity, and Aaron will coordinate the field activity. And I've put Director Lucy and Director Guerrero on the hot call list if there's an issue.
Okay.
But I will be responding to phone calls.
Too Sorry much stuff going on. That dynamite for those beavers.
After
the parents away, the kids can play.
But I have some late breaking news.
What's that?
I have a letter, email today from Julie Tacker about the seismic studies that they're going to do in the bays for PG&E. And she's asking for a resolution similar to what Morro Bay proposed. So I need you to know if you want that on the agenda for next time. And then we had a gentleman from the Jay Johnson from the county come down mm-hmm. today. And there is another planning workshop called Building Communities in Oceano and Napomo. And they're going to have it at the Woodlands on October 3rd. From 6:30 to 9:30, so Carol Ann will put it up on the website. Director Hurdle, I recommend you get in contact with this guy so that we make sure all the things are coordinated. I asked him, I said, well, we already have this stuff to go to Oceano, and he said, your people were adamant that we would follow through, and this is a follow-through.
Yes, this is one of the this things that I really asked for, yeah. Great.
I'll pass that down, and Carol Ann can get that on the website as well.
Can I ask that you send us out calendars with a lot of these dates that we've talked about tonight and our other stuff? Because our calendars are ran out.
Is that it for written communications?
I know.
Say again.
Is that it for written communications received?
That's all I have. Yeah.
Okay. Moving on to item number 14, future agenda items, and I'll go first. One of the things that this jetting system, camera system, vacuum system trailer that we're looking at alerts me to is having been at the yard is not only is the old jetter in poor shape, but some of the trucks are in very poor shape too, and you and I have discussed, and maybe we can get some sort of idea on the condition of the trucks, what we need for new vehicles. I know you mentioned we might or we do need a flatbed, and make sure that whatever trucks we have or at least we have a truck that's capable of pulling this particular trailer. And so maybe, I don't know, I don't want to call it an audit per se, but maybe some state of the yard and kind of maybe start planning for major budget items, trucks and things that we're going to need to buy. You know, tooling, shedding the water yard and lots of stuff like that. And so,
well, most of that, the shedding and stuff is actually repairs.
Yeah.
And those are all falling under my limitation, which I'll gladly share with you. But we've been able to work some fairly competitive deals in that area, so I'm real positive about that. The biggest gating item that we need beside the trailers is a flatbed. Mm-hmm. And what we're doing is we're monitoring some of the government auction sites. Mm-hmm. And the other big thing we need is also replacement generators. Mm-hmm. And we're monitoring. We have a lot of stuff coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan that have very little hours on them.
Yeah,
and so I'm monitoring those websites as well. So,
Tom, another place you can monitor is Tidal Ponds.
Is what?
It's they're pawn shops that take titles.
Yeah.
You know, so the Tidal Ponds, they're all over the United States, but mainly Oregon, Nevada. And what you do is you turn the title in to your vehicle and or your generator that's on a trailer or any place expensive equipment. And I've gotten some good deals from them.
The one thing that we're doing, too, is you got to remember it's California, so we need a higher tier of emission control. Mm-hmm. And so we've just got the electricians are going through right now recalculating all our emergency power needs. Mm-hmm. And then we have PG&E coming in to do a survey on what our power needs as well. And then we'll have a firm plan on what to plan out and go get. And then we're trying to fit that with what we're finding at the surplus area. Because, you know, $60,000 generators are selling for $5,000.
Yes.
And even if it's a lower tier, and we got to spend $1,200 to get it to the right tier, that's still significantly.
Mm-hmm. In fact, I'll search some of those websites for you if you want.
Okay, that'd be great.
Yeah, I'll take
that. Sounds really good.
Send them over.
Well, and Tom
so
knows.
So before you start adding new ones, so I just want to make sure we have the district engineer to discuss.
Correct.
On 9/26. We need to schedule both a personnel meeting and a finance meeting. I doubt if we'll get it done before the 26th, but we will do those in October. We have the state of the yard that you just requested and the opening of discussions on SOI study area 1. So that's what I have on my list. What else is there?
I think that's it. That's what I recall as well. Oh, Carol Ann. Oh, the policy and procedure for the purchase.
Policies.
That's right. Thank you, Carol Ann.
And do we want to do a resolution like this?
Yeah, you don't get off the line.
What? All right. Public comment, item number 15. Mm-hmm. There's none. Item number 16 is adjournment. Is there a motion to adjourn? We have a motion from Director Hurdle. All right. Well, we have. Are you a second?
I'm seconding.
Okay. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
It's 10 o'clock. Good night.
Good morning.